presenting Orson Welles as the Third Man. The lives of Harry Lime. The fabulous stories of the immortal character, originally created in the story The Third Man, with zither music by Anton Karas.
The police of Milan, like the police of any other town in the world, can sometimes be mistaken. And when they got certain mistaken ideas about me, I didn't stay around to put them right. I thought it'd be simpler just to leave town. So I took the morning train down to Genoa and had lunch at Enrico Ricciardi's. Ricciardi himself brought me brandy after lunch, compliments the house to an old customer. And when we both had our backs turned, a fly lit on the edge of the glass. Then it wandered off drunkenly along the tablecloth, and I took up a newspaper from the neighboring table, folded it, and swatted. I missed the fly, but I saw the ad printed at the top of one of the columns in the back of the paper. Wanted, it read, wanted multilingual publicist to promote young lady, 23. As I translated that into English, it meant that they wanted somebody who knew a few languages. Well, I did. As for promoting a young lady of 23, I might be qualified there by inclination and by experience. So I topped off the brandy, said so long till later to Ricciardi, and went out to the street, dodged the streetcars, and started up the hill. The advertisement had given an address. The street happened to be one I knew, overlooking Genoa Harbor, on the hill above Ricciardi's. Johnson wasn't home when I got to the address on the hill above Ricciardi's. Melody Johnson. That was the name given in the ad. I didn't know if she was a Dixieland trombonist or a sheet music company, but it turned out she was neither. The old Italian landlady let me in, and there were photos of Melody all over the house. The landlady said it was very sad, but Melody, though she was so beautiful, had to work for a living dancing at the Genoa Palace, which was where she'd be after 8 that night. I took another look at those pictures, took pity on Melody, and made my plans for after 8 in the evening. In the Genoa Palace dance hall, among those dark Genoa girls waiting for dance partners, I'd have picked out Melody Johnson even if I hadn't seen her photos. She had hair the color of red clover honey and blue eyes that might have been a size or two too big, except that on her they were just right. I bought tickets, the band went into a slow rumba, and I abandoned myself to Melody.
You rumba beautifully.
You don't do so badly yourself, honey.
But I've had so much training.
You say that as if you had regrets.
Regrets is a nice word for corns. Oh, yes, my training's been very thorough. It began back home in New York. But I wanted to see the world.
So you joined a show or a dancing troupe and came to Europe, and the outfit went bust and left you stranded here, right?
That's just about how it started.
Thanks for the dance.
Yes, thank you. But you're an American too, aren't you?
That's right.
Are you over here in Europe on business?
More or less, business. My name is Harry Lime. Does that mean anything to you? Don't answer that.
All right, I won't. Mr. Lime, I hope you've bought enough tickets so we can have the next dance.
I bought you a whole evening. Look here, with these tickets, we can dance all the way to the French frontier.
Then let's walk out in the garden.
Okay.
It'll be dark and we'll be alone. We can talk, can't we?
What else could we possibly think of to do? Well, we actually got down to business after a while. It seems that Melody Johnson wanted to hire somebody to promote her interest as a beauty queen. She looked like a beauty queen. But as I was kissing Melody Johnson, my sixth sense told me instinctively that Melody was off-key, if you'll forgive the joke. To the five senses, she was a beauty queen, all right, but something made me think there was something more that didn't meet the eye. So that's all there is to it, hmm? You want somebody to sell you as a beauty. Motion pictures, maybe, hmm? Beauty contest, cabaret work?
Hmm? Yes, Harry. Oh, there's just one thing more. The person will have to be ready to travel.
Oh, when and where?
Very soon, very, very soon. As to where, well, I'll tell you that when you've told me you'll take the job. Will you take it, Harry?
Well, Melody, suppose you give me a day to think it over. I was in my usual hangout in Genoa, Ricciardi's, the next afternoon, thinking it over and reading the papers, when a fellow with very much the look of a Milan police officer came in. Did he know the whereabouts of one Harry Lime, he asked Ricciardi. Never heard of a guy of that name, answered Ricciardi, of course, in Italian. I went on reading the paper, lifting it a little higher, in fact, high enough to hide my face, but I remembered what Melody Johnson had said. The person who took the job she offered would have to be ready to travel. Well, I was ready to travel. Very soon. Goodbye to Genoa.
Thank heavens. Ooh, that awful job in the dance hall.
Arrivederci, Italia.
No, not goodbye to Italy, Harry.
No?
Not quite. The ship stops at Naples on the way.
That's right, and then Alexandria. Then where?
Cairo.
Cairo.
That's because of the beauty contest, Harry.
You want to be Miss Pyramids of Giza?
Because of the honor and the publicity value. And then there's a big money prize.
Mentioning money reminds me of something. Look here, let's just move a little further on down the ship rail, where nobody can overhear what we say. Now, isn't there something you want to tell me, Melody?
Well, I don't understand what you mean.
Well, this is what I mean. You want somebody to publicize you and promote your interests.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's very natural, but what about this? Doesn't it seem to you just the least bit queer, honey, that you had to work in a taxi dance hall to keep yourself alive?
But, Harry, I told you about the gambling.
You told me you fell in love at Monte Carlo.
With roulette.
All right, but since roulette proved bad for your financial health, isn't it odd that you bought both of us first-class cabins on this ship? Very deluxe accommodations.
No, Harry, it's not odd at all.
Oh, it is.
There was nothing else available. All the other space on the ship was sold.
I guess it was a possible explanation. Maybe it was a real one. Very spacious up where my stateroom was. Deck A, high up. We had a steward for every three or four cabins up there. The best service. Mine was quite an unusual fellow, my steward. I asked him about himself when we were an hour or two out of Genoa. He just brought me in some fresh towels.
Here you are, sir.
Thanks, steward.
Not at all, sir.
Hey, you're not Italian, are you? Don't mind my asking?
No.
So that was his story. He'd been at his country's embassy in Brussels when the Russians lowered the curtain on the world at home, and since then he'd done one job and another. Said his name was Balco in the Bohemian or Magyar, some such language. Paul in English. I said that that was what I'd call him. Told him I probably wouldn't be a lot of trouble to him.
But whatever you will require, sir, I will be at your service, naturally.
Oh, thanks. I only mean, Paul, I expect to be out of the cabin most of the time. By the way, if I'm needed, messages, anything of that sort, you'd probably better try the vicinity of a passenger on upper B deck. That's where I'm likely to be.
The passenger's name, sir?
A young lady, Miss Melody Johnson. I'm sort of employed by her, as you might say.
Can that be true?
Well, you say that as if it meant something to you.
It is only, I have, of course, heard of Miss Melody Johnson, the beauty queen of Monte Carlo, I believe.
That's right. She was.
So then, sir, you are a very fortunate man to know her, to be employed by her. I'm told she's a very beautiful woman.
Yes. You've never seen her yourself?
I have never seen her, but she has been described to me.
Well, Paul, the steward, wasn't the only one who took a special interest in Melody Johnson. Of course, up to a certain point, this was natural. Melody was probably the most beautiful girl afloat.
How nice it is up here on the deck. So nice and lonely. Just think, in the morning we'll be in Naples. Harry, are you listening to me?
I'm looking at you, honey.
Can't you listen to me for a minute?
I can divide my attention.
No, seriously, I have a confession to make. There's something I haven't told you. Well, I didn't want to hire only a publicist to promote my good looks. Well, I suppose what I really wanted was sort of a bodyguard.
Oh.
You know, may I tell you something?
Okay, go ahead. Tell me something.
Well, the other night, when I learned who you were, I was frightened a little. Because of your reputation, things I'd heard about Harry Lime here and there. But now, well, here alone with you, I feel secure. I'm happy.
Well, I'd be happy, too, if we were alone.
What do you mean?
Well, when they built that housing back there, the deck 6 or 8 yards, they may not have built a man's head and shoulder and an arm looking around the side of it.
Harry, there is someone.
What
there.
Is?
A man watching us.
Don't be frightened. Come here into the shelter of this lifeboat. Damn it.
Yes, all right, Harry.
Now, make it look all right. We'll pretend to kiss. What am I thinking? I'm out of my mind. Pretend to? Turn up your face.
Oh, is this a good plan, Harry?
So far, it's a wonderful plan. I kissed her, and then I left her by the lifeboat and turned around and walked back up the deck. The man pulled in like a turtle, shrinking into the angle of the housing. Good evening. Out for the salt air?
Excuse that I have intruded on yourself and the lady. I stop it only to light my cigar.
Well, that's all right, old man. Don't apologize at all. Only take a tip from me.
Senor?
Next time, don't light your cigar after it's already lit. And goodbye, old man. When I squired Melody to her cabin, I went back to my own. Somebody had been there before me. The cabin didn't look gone over, but one or two small things were out of place. Had somebody found a way to break in? The little Italian fellow with the lit cigar, or Paul the steward? He could have let himself in without any trouble. But what was whoever it was looking for? What did he want? I checked through my things. Nothing was missing. It wasn't until the next day when we docked in Naples that I began to get some idea of what it was all about. Stop along here, driver.
Si, signore.
This is one of the best views, Melody, because that's Vesuvius over there.
Harry, let's get out of the car for a better look.
Well, I don't think we'd better do that, honey. Driver, drive on, will you please?
But Harry, why are we going? We haven't half seen it yet.
Well, we didn't stop, Dream Girl, for the view. That Alfa Romeo right behind us has been following us this whole time. We stopped to see if he'd stopped, and he did, so he's following us. And the fellow in the back seat is somebody called Minelli.
Minelli?
Mm-hmm. I made some inquiries. We were coming to the port this morning, and his name is Minelli. Mean anything to you?
Minelli? No, I don't think it does.
Well, he seems to take some kind of special interest in you. He's tagging us now. Well, Melody, since we couldn't manage to lose Mr. Minelli by car, maybe we can do it by foot.
Well, I know what he wants, Harry. I may as well admit it.
Now, wait a minute. You know what he wants? Well, maybe you ought to tell
me. I didn't know if I could trust you.
You better trust somebody.
Oh, I've been so scared. I haven't known what to do ever since I've had them in my possession.
Ever since you've had what in your possession?
The pearls of Bohemia.
The pearls of Bohemia.
I have them in my handbag now.
The pearls of Bohemia.
Oh, if we only get away from Minelli somehow. I'll tell you all about it.
Well, I wish you would, honey.
Harry Lime returns in just a moment. The ship pulled out of Naples for Alexandria that afternoon. There was a tea dance on the lounge.
I want to tell you now, all about the pearls.
Okay.
Before I hardly know where to start.
Why not try the beginning? That sometimes works.
Yes, yes, the beginning. Well, I suppose the beginning was Monte Carlo.
But,
anyhow,
also,
I went into the casino.
And you had the bad luck to win.
Oh, it wasn't even that. I just fell in love with the roulette wheel, without any real reason. But it was so exciting, the wheel whirling, all that money, the calls of the croupier.
I know, honey. I've had a go or two myself.
And since then, well, since Monte Carlo, I've gambled everywhere. Vienna, the new Kursaal in San Marino, Lindau, Lake Constance, all those places. I've met a lot of wicked people.
Yeah, you had what you might call a crook's tour of Europe.
Yes, yes. That's what it might be called.
Mm.
You see, Harry, I've got gambling fever.
Well, but your luck hasn't been so hot.
No, no.
Face it.
And that's how I fell into the hands of Zicky.
That's the whole name, Zicky?
No, no, he has an unpronounceable first name.
Oh.
He comes from somewhere near Prague. I'm not sure exactly. But it's behind the Iron Curtain now, anyway. He got away, escaped from the Russians, and went to Paris.
And you met him in Paris and played two-card faro with him and lost your best ruse and honorary hat.
No, hmm? I didn't meet him in Paris.
Oh, your meeting with him comes later?
Yes. Hmm. He'd been the valet of the Count of Bohemia.
The valet. Oh, then it was the Count he met in Paris.
Yes, he rejoined him there.
Oh.
The Count had only two things left, his pride...
And the pearls of Bohemia.
The pearls from the ancient crown of the Counts of Bohemia.
Very romantic.
Oh, I haven't any idea what they're worth, but it must be a fabulous amount.
I can imagine. Now, suppose you tell me how these pearls got passed along to you, honey.
Well, in the first place, Zicky stole them.
Oh. Zicky stole the pearls, and then what did Zicky do?
Oh, nothing for a while. I suppose he was afraid to move.
Oh, I see. And finally, Zicky did decide to try to dispose of the pearls.
Yes.
And...
I met Zicky in Nice.
Mm.
I'd been losing at roulette, and Zicky lent me money to try to recoup.
Oh.
And then we played cards against each other, and as you said a minute ago, I lost my hat.
The grim picture begins to take shape now. Zicky, am I right, said he'd put you in the way of a means of paying him off.
Yes, that's what he did say.
You would dispose of the pearls.
Yep. Mm.
So natural and simple, isn't it? Yeah. In Egypt, this is supposed to be, right?
There's a buyer in Cairo.
Nice.
Well, you know what Cairo is.
It's more or less, honey, more or less. The shadier side of sunny Egypt. Well, all right, if you're going to take the pearls of Bohemia to Cairo and sell them...
The money is to be paid to Zicky in Italy. Some kind of bank transfer. I don't really understand it.
But Zicky, on receiving the money, tears up your IOUs, which is what concerns you.
Yes. Hmm? Now you know it all.
Yes.
The whole tawdry story.
It just occurs to me, Melody, that you may have a little difficulty getting those pearls into Egypt. Past the customs, I mean.
Oh, I thought about that. I lie awake at night thinking about it.
You won't have to worry at all, honey.
I don't think I know what you mean.
Just this. Mr. Manelli, at least, is after those pearls. He or somebody else may get them before we reach Egypt. And you wouldn't have to trouble yourself about how to smuggle them in at all. Well, we talked on a little longer without any tangible result. She didn't feel, understandably, that losing the pearls to Manelli was the right solution to her problem. But how was she to be sure of getting them past the Egyptian customs and on to Cairo? We tried the question on several ways, but it didn't seem to be a very good fit. And we left the subject and our drinks and went out on the dance floor. And I took her in my arms. That fit was all right. While we were dancing, a man came into the entrance of the ship's lounge. Stopped a minute and stood looking around. Melody, you didn't get a look at him up on the deck last night. I only even got a good look at him during that chase in Naples today. But look now. There he is. That's Manelli.
That man standing in the door?
Yeah, the very one.
Harry?
What is it? Hey, even a face like yours won't stand that kind of plowing. Why the frown?
That man's name isn't Manelli.
You know him?
I've never met that man, but I remember his appearance. He was pointed out to me a year or so ago. Oh, yes, somewhere on the Riviera. Oh, I'm trying to recall the name I was told. Yes, his name is Vittoria. Vincente Vittoria.
Wait a minute. I've met him myself, but... There's an international jewel thief called Vincente Vittoria. Very well known.
That's what I was told when that man there in the door was pointed out to me on the Riviera.
Vincente Vittoria saw Melody and me and turned on his heel and disappeared. I left Melody in the lounge, but supplied myself with the key to her cabin. It occurred to me that Vincente Vittoria might think of having a look for the pearls there, while Melody herself was lost in the wonders of Harry Lime and the waltz. The door was locked, but I don't think Melody's stateroom was just as she'd left it. There was a man inside.
Oh, sir. Oh, it is you, Mr. Lyme.
Just putting the lady's dainties back in those wardrobe drawers, are you, Stuart?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, yes. That is just what I am doing.
You know, Paul, there may be two or three things wrong with this picture. Shall I enumerate them for you in order? Okay, this isn't your deck. This is B deck. And if it wasn't B deck, this isn't your block of staterooms. And anyhow, the pearls of Bohemia aren't in those wardrobe drawers, so you're wasting your time, old man.
I understand, sir. I must apologize.
Well, you'll have to apologize to the lady, not to me. But maybe you owe me an apology after all. Was it you who went through my cabin last night, Paul, old man?
Yes, I did that.
Looking for the pearls, of course.
Yes, that is what I was doing.
You know, Paul, this could get you into bad color with your employers here on the ship. Steward who wants to be light-fingered with the passenger's property.
The pearls of Bohemia were stolen from their owner by a man named Ziki. The owner did not wish to have the foreign police arrest a fellow countryman of his, but he had Ziki privately watched. Ziki passed on the pearls to Miss Johnson, and the owner was very much surprised to discover himself that Miss Johnson was sailing for Egypt on this ship. The owner supposed that she was going there to dispose of the pearls.
I see. Well, look, come on up to my cabin. We'll have a drink, shall we, old man?
I could not do that, sir. It would not be proper in a steward. I must decline.
And deprive me of the chance of telling my grandchildren I once had a drink with the Count of Bohemia. Oh, come along. My cabin. Have a drink together, Count. Talk this whole thing out. We made good time to Alexandria. And Melody was still worried.
Harry?
Yes, honey?
What about these pearls? What am I going to do?
You're not going to do anything, honey. You're going to give them to me. I know a trick or two in the smuggling department. Mind if I take this stool here beside you?
The use of the bar is a free to all.
There isn't any need for us to be too polite to each other, Mr. Minnelli, or should I say Vittoria? My business with you is business. I see I interest you.
I'm listening.
That's all you got to do, old man, is listen. That and one thing more. That one thing more is pay me 2,000 Egyptian pounds. And believe me, I'm giving you a cheap price. I haven't any opportunity here on shipboard to find out the real value of the pearls of Bohemia. Besides, I want a quick payoff and a get-out-of-town kind of deal. See what I mean?
You are offering to sell me the pearls?
You are remarkably astute, old man, and I'm glad to see you come up to your reputation. Yes, that's right. I have them here in my pocket.
I see.
But ask yourself before you wonder if you ought to knock me over the head and steal them from me, if you, Vincenzi Vittoria, known jewel thief, ought to risk taking them through the customs, huh? Or shall I take them through the customs and deliver them to you intact in Alexandria for the small price of 2,000 Egyptian pounds? Done? Huh? A bargain? I thought it would be, old man.
Have you anything to declare, Mr. Lime? This is the Egyptian customs.
Well, my dragoman there's got my bags, but you'll find nothing dutiable in them. I have these pearls, though. Here, see? 16 or 20 of them.
What is their value, Mr. Lime?
Oh, not much. A few of your Egyptian piastres. You can see for yourself they're not real. Imitation.
Harry Lime returns in just a moment. And now, Harry Lime.
Those pearls were imitation, all right, but pretty convincing. Convincing enough, anyhow, to deceive an expert like Vincenzi Vittorio. He was an honest man, of his particular sort, and promptly paid me the 2,000 Egyptian pounds when I turned the pearls over to him at a little sidewalk cafe in Alexandria. The pearls ought to have been convincing, of course, because they were made for a very special use. When Mrs. Astorbilt or some such lady, you know, goes to the opera with a couple of hundred carats of diamonds on her fingers, they're very likely to be paste. Perfect duplicates, fine imitations, and the real diamonds stay locked up at home or in the bank. That's what fellows like Vincenzi Vittoria have done to the world of the upper classes, and the world of Bohemian counts is just about the same. So it happened that Count Paul of Bohemia had in his steward's locker the imitation set that matched the real pearls of Bohemia, and I got the real pearls from Melody. Well, I just traded. Melody had said, you remember, that Count Paul had only two things left, his pride and his pearls. He kept his pride, and I thought he might just as well have the pearls, too. Now, all of this left me somewhat under obligation to Melody. I know quite a few people in Cairo, so I may have had something to do with her being voted Miss Pyramids of Giza. The prize money got her out of debt to that fellow Zeke, anyhow. And then there was the dough I got from Vittoria for the phony pearls. Melody and I had a lot of fun spending those 2,000 Egyptian pounds. But that, as the fellow says, is another story. So long for now. And remember, all that glitters is not gold, but it ain't hay either.